You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And she had told the college about me, and they were praying for me.
Did they know you were having these problems?
I don't know how much she told them, but yes.
And why did she know?
Because I ended.
Why did you confess this to her?
Because one night I had a close call and I was very angry. And the next day I woke up to hurting some people.
Okay.
On almost a road rage incident, but it was going to be outside of cars, basically. And I was still very angry when I went to the job. She asked me if I could work a double shift, and the anger just increased much more. And I don't remember what I said, except I remember saying no, definitely no. But I remember seeing her walk back to her office, and I went back to working on what I was working on. And then I heard, go and tell her everything. And I didn't know it was God at the time, but it felt like there was a speaker inside of me. Like I rumbled on the inside. And I couldn't disobey the voice. And it was a very kind voice, unlike the others, you know, saying things like, respect me in life, respect me in death, yours. That was one of those demonic thoughts that came by. But this,
so this was God, a kind voice.
This God
so go
voice
and tell
was
her
go
so you go and tell her.
And okay, that's so how and tell she what started. Happens. She started witnessing to me.
Oh.
And then she asked me, or she got me to agree that I would tell my mom what was going on with me because no one knew.
How old were you at this time?
20.
Okay.
Yeah, almost 21. And still going to the art school that I was going to and almost finished with it. And let's see. And when I got home, the Suicide Crisis Center called me. To this day, I think, I don't know, I've not met anyone where a crisis center has called them, but a crisis center called me, and they wanted to get me connected with a psychotherapist who specialized in helping women, actually, who have been sexually assaulted. But he agreed to take me on, and he was an atheist, and he actually strengthened my cause after a while. He blunted my mom's attempts to stir faith within me, and he turned out to be, you know, a nice guy, but very spiritually ignorant and just someone who helped my cause, which was not a good cause back then. So I came within the 24 hours, and it stopped because the Bible College was praying for me. And I had wanted to go to University of South Florida because I wanted to go on and take more classes. I wanted a normal life. And these new alien thoughts came into my head, which I think were God-inspired. Maybe I can be normal. Maybe I can have a family. Maybe I can be married. And that kind of went over my head and in through my head a few times. And it kind of stirred up a little hope in me. And as a licensed counselor, I have learned that hope is a devastating weapon against depression or suicidal ideation. Mm. Of course, at this point, I would have suicidal ideation because I
suicidal
was not
what?
Suicidal ideation.
What's ideation?
When you're thinking about it.
Mm.
Thinking and planning.
That's, ideation.
Yes.
Never heard that word before.
So October 31st passed because hope came into me from God, I believe. And because of that, I didn't do anything that night. But the next day, my mom called, which would be November 1st, and she said, I'm sorry, you can't stay in Tampa. You need to come home. We can't afford you to stay there because they were helping me, you know, live back then. And I was enraged. But at the same time, I missed my date because all this started around Halloween. I had wanted to die on Halloween. And again, the book spells that out of why. Mm. So I ended up going home, and there was a Christian counselor there waiting for me. His name is James Sanders. He passed away, I believe, in 2018, unfortunately, but he was a pillar in Vero Beach, Florida for quite a while. He had a counseling center near Piper Aircraft and Airport. He saw me for 5 months, and it seemed like he wasn't getting anywhere with me either.
Mm.
Yet he had an interesting way of discussing things, and he would share truths about God, and it would sometimes it was just out of the blue, but he would just talk about things. Hmm. When he did speak about the things, it caused me to kind of, I don't want to say accept it as truth, but it was ringing true with me. But he eventually asked me to pray with him. All the other times, the sessions, he prayed for me, but he asked me to pray with me. I remember seeing the ceiling, so I either rolled my eyes or I looked up at the ceiling. I don't remember, but it probably rolled my eyes because I was, you know, kind of jerky back then. And I thought, sure, I'll speak into thin air with you. And he starts leading me into the sinner's prayer. Many people call it that. I kind of call it prayer for forgiveness these days. But he leads me into it. And I remember vaguely saying things like, you know, please forgive me for my sins, which is a very important thing to do when you're asking for forgiveness for your sins. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. I want to live for you, you know. And I was saying it, but I was not believing a thing. Mm. Then it comes to a point at the end where it says, and I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me. And I stopped.
Mm. You couldn't and say
I,
that.
I couldn't say that. Mm. But then suddenly something came over me that made me realize if I made the wrong decision here, if I say the wrong thing, then I'm done. And for some reason, I cared about that.
You felt like God was drawing a line in the sand?
Yeah, possibly. I just didn't want to be done for the first time in a long time. So I said it, and apparently I meant it, because all this anger and rage and hatred and those violent feelings and everything drained out of me, just left. Mm. And hope, which was back then a very dirty four-letter word to me. It felt like life had pulled the carpet out from underneath me so many times. Mm-hmm. And so, the hope came in. And as, you know, Jesus says, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither knows him or sees him, but you know him because he lives in you. And that's... No one had to tell me that God existed. I had told you this one other time, that when I came out of the office, the day even seemed brighter to me. I saw, beginning to see the beauty of the world. But at the same time, I felt very different and in a way, a little scared. I wasn't used to it. And I remember getting behind the wheel of my car, and I'm like, what the heck did I just do? Not exactly using those words, but, you know, what did I just do? And that night, the enemy was very upset with me, so I started having nightmares. And then I was attacked a few times.
Now, what do you mean attacked?
The first one was, after I was a Christian, was when I was in a movie theater. And we were watching a movie I was with a friend from the art school in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I got a sharp pain in my right arm from around the shoulder area to the elbow. And it's very sharp pain. I remember screaming, but in a whisper. I guess I had enough self-control to scream in a whisper, like, ah, you know. Mm. I lifted up my sleeve when the lights came on, and there was 18 to 20 slashes on my arm in X formation. Almost like the enemy. Yeah, like the enemy was mocking the cross or something. The thing was, I don't know how it was done, but it's done so quickly. It was like an instantaneous pain. And then I have all these X's in my arm. Hmm. I wish I'd taken a picture of it, but I didn't. I do have somewhere in my house a slash on my leg when I let a young man in the Air Force read, a bit of my testimony. Mm-hmm. The enemy wasn't, happy with that. But that summer of 1991, there were many attacks that I received. The Christian counselor graciously taught me how to do spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. that we've been given a name that's higher than any other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And he taught me, if this happens again, command them to go in Jesus' name. They have to obey you. And so I started doing that. Unfortunately, when I became a Christian, it was kind of like two lies of the enemy followed me into my new life. And I couldn't shake it as easily as I think some other Christians are able to do. And that was the people who go to church are hypocrites. And the other one was that the Bible wasn't true. And because the enemy attacked me after I became a Christian, receiving Christ, well, that kind of proved to me that I did the right thing, even though I was paying a bit for it, that this is not bunk, that the Bible was true. Every word of it is true. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it is able to, you know, divide the intents of the heart, you know, from your mind. Very, very powerful. The Word of God is very powerful. And so when the enemy attacked me as he did, it confirmed that. Mm. When it came to the people who go to church being all hypocrites, that's a lie of the enemy too. And that causes a lot of people to resist going to church or even giving God or Jesus a chance. And so I want to say to anyone, yes, at some churches, the enemy brings people specifically to cause disruptions, arguments, disagreements, division within the church. But there are so many. If you find a good church, a good Bible-believing, full gospel church where they believe in healing and people can be set free from this addiction or this behavior, then...
Or dark spirit.
Yes, like me, yeah. So... Yes, there are so many good people at church. You know, we go to a good church in town, Oceans Unite Christian Center. Very lovely people there. Pastor, very powerful, speaks and preaches the word, rightly divides the word of truth. You know, great, great experience going there. So I would definitely recommend to anyone, you know, listening, if you have bought into that lie of the enemy, that there's people who just, you know, are going to hurt you if you go to church, please try to get over that. Let God heal your heart. Go back to church. He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So please, I would really recommend that. After becoming a Christian, I felt led to go into the Air Force. God said, you know, when my Christian counselor said, you ever think about joining the Air Force? I heard, go.
Really?
Listen to him and do what he says.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
A beautiful morning, Jesus is calling. People get ready, he's calling me and you.